There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Christmas Eve. Yeah, I think that's right. Edition of the show. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch as well. Telephone line. Phone line and text line are the same digits. I made it that easy. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And also you can use that TalkBack feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us a message there. All right, a lot to do on today's show, and I'd love to hear from you. We got also just a little update here on the Locals Only Christmas list. We'll get to that here in just about probably 15 minutes or so. Because first up, and without delay, He's one of the busiest men in Alabama media, working on print and electronic print and radio shows like this one. And you can look at him on TV. It's our friend Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal, joining us now. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Good. Maybe we can look at you on TV on Capital Journal and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we are finished for the year. No show this week. We had a good show last week. We had South Alabama's own Greg Allbritton talking about the online sales tax again. Mm-hmm. And, he knows how to make news, I'll tell you that.
Indeed, and had us talking about it a good bit. Hey, one thing is, I don't know you saw the ancillary story, and for the audience, we'll get to this some more later. When this first came out down here, that the city of Pritchard, the new mayor, said they weren't getting any money from the SSUT. And I was like, what? This is a huge story, right? If it's one municipality is not getting it, they just didn't know. They got like $9 million, but they didn't know. I'm not saying Pritchard needs a little help in management, but if you have a line item that's $9 million in revenue into a city, I'd probably know.
Yeah, look, I don't run a city, but I do run a small business, and I would notice $9.
Right. I mean, if you got $9 million, be like, hey, where'd that come from?
So, absolutely.
this is the question here of the allocation, right? I mean, I can even make an argument. It is a kind of spread the wealth mentality with SSUT, right? Some municipalities bring in more than they receive. Some municipalities or counties, rural areas, receive more than they put in.
Well, it's all based on population, mm-hmm. right? So that can always happen. I'm sure some areas don't have the same amount of online sales as others. I have no idea how to calculate that, or even if it's a metric that's out there. But I think the legislature arrived at that because, you know, both in 2015 and in 2018, when it was amended, I don't think technology was to the point where it might be today, where geo-targeting was even possible. I mean, how do you go about with... Think about a place like Mobile, a place like Baldwin County, especially Birmingham, with all those little cities, all those little municipalities are all on top of each other. It's really difficult to figure out exactly where somebody is, where a store is, all that kind of thing. And so I don't blame the legislature for just making it easy and basing it on population. But I mean, I can understand why some cities are saying, hey, we're getting shortchanged by this. I just don't know if there's a better way to do it. And if there is, it's going to take a few years to sort out legislatively, because that's just, you know, opening that can of worms again is going to be a real, can of worms. Yeah. And so I don't expect them to do that this session. And but yeah, Senator Albritton is really being vocal, saying, look, if y'all want to play games with this, we're going to threaten y'all's revenue now. He's now got two pre-filed bills in the legislature for the next sessions, really cutting off a lot of revenue to cities, really as a shot over the bow. I don't expect these bills to pass, but he's again sending a message to these cities who are suing that they're playing with fire.
This could get on the other side of Senator Albritton. Are there people that siding with those municipalities? Are we going to see this in session this year?
Well, it's been so interesting because you obviously have Tuscaloosa, Mobile, and Mountain Brook. They're the main cities bringing this lawsuit. I think Madison up in North Alabama might be too, but they're the big dogs. And they're saying that they're the ones really bringing the case. But you've got a hundred other smaller towns that have joined the state side, right, to say, no, we don't want to get rid of SSUT. You also got all 67 counties who are against this.
Sure, because all those you listed could lose money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, certainly the counties like it the way it is, but all those smaller municipalities are saying, look, we're at least getting something right now. We got no online sales tax before 2015, right? So that's the whole mom and pops getting screwed. That was a big deal. So they're grateful just to be having some revenue from the online sales tax. Like you said, I mean, a town like Pritchard, that's a pretty big town, but $9 million,
yeah,
that's big,
yes,
in a city's budget. So,
but it's not exactly analogous, but it's a little bit like we discussed on the gas tax, right? There were people that were upset here. They said, for Baldwin County, for example, they're saying that money should stay here, that is collected in the gas tax used on projects here, even though some does, but not all of it does.
Yeah, some of it does, I'm sure. And you know, if you want to rewrite the gas tax, have at it. you talk about something that would be tough to bring up again. That was quite an effort. Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have some issue with that. That's why people raise local taxes, because if it's a state tax, whether it's sales or income or property or whatever, I mean, it goes to the state. Sometimes it comes back, not all the time. And you know, Alabama, we're a state that gets more than we give in terms, mm-hmm, of taxes to the federal government. So it kind of, you know, it works both ways. But I will say, that's why places like Baldwin County and places like Shelby and Jefferson County, you see local municipalities raising their own local taxes in this way or that way, whether it's sales or income or mainly property. Because they realize that what they're getting back from the state, especially on the education side, is not adequate. You've got to supplement that. We're a low-tax, low-service state, and if you want better services and better schools, it behooves you to try to pay for that locally, where they can't take it away, right?
Yep. Yes, we'll see where... I think maybe just because the beachheads, I mean, I have my issues. I think you could remedy some of these things, but like you said, who wants to do that? I mean, once that benchmark is there, that beachhead's there, you're not going to come back from it usually.
Yeah. Usually that's pretty tough to do.
All right, I got to ask you about this. You're maybe not in their prime core age, but you're younger than I am. Can you explain what the issue here is, the turning point thing that we're supposed to told over the weekend? This was the biggest story. What's your take on this?
I mean, it's a story just because there are some fissures within the, whether you call it the conservative movement, MAGA, I don't know what you call it.
So is that, okay, and also is this I guess that's a better question. Is this what happened with Turning Point USA? Is this a proxy, like you're saying, for the bigger Republican Party?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. I think, you know, Turning Point, which by the way is just really growing and prospering in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, you know, a lot more attention on it. And so maybe we shouldn't be surprised about this media attention. But yeah, I mean, you had Ben Shapiro get up and say, really call out by name, you know, Nick Fuentes is a neo-Nazi, Tucker Carlson, who's platformed him and has said some pretty awful things about, the United States and kind of taking sides with the enemy sometimes, and others who just hold views, especially anti-Semitic, Jew-hating views, that he argues has no place in the conservative movement. Of course, you had Tucker Carlson come right back on stage and bash him, and same thing for what's his name, Breitbart guy. So you know, it's not. I thought Ben Shapiro was right. I thought he was courageous into saying, yeah, we, because the whole thing is, yeah, I understand people wanting the tent to be as big as possible, but there is a limit. And you go back to William F. Buckley, basically expelling the John Birch Society, the Flat Earthers from, and just, you know, they were a pretty bad group from the conservative movement. That took guts, but the movement was better off for it. And I just don't think, you know,
do you equate. And believe me, Tucker's done a lot of things here recently that I'm like, well, I don't know. That wasn't what I thought was on brand for him, but I'm not him. He is him. But you're equating like Tucker Carlson, not Fuentes, but Tucker Carlson with John Birch Society?
I'm certainly equating Nick Fuentes that. And Candace Owens.
Candace is interesting. Come on, Todd. She gives us stuff to talk about.
no kidding, but it's vile. And look, it's not my job to say who can be in the tent and who can't, but I found Ben Shapiro's comments impressive. And again, people get spend way too much time online and engaged in this stuff where people forget, like, to win elections, you've got to win independents. You've got to win those people who don't really care about Republican or Democratic politics. They're in, you know, Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, and they just want a good job. They just want, you know, some normalcy. Those are the voters. And so,
but don't you think there's been appeal to that? Isn't, like, for example, the Epstein thing, right? With the files and the release. I think that kind of stuff that Trump had run on had brought independents into the mix. People that might not have been policy wonks on, you know, fiscal policy, or but this was something they were interested in. They're gonna open the files. They're gonna expose all the things.
Yeah, and look how that's gone.
Mm-hmm. Not great.
Right. No, I mean, it's really tough to expand your base very, very far, because they're, you know, just committed, you know, foot to you. The reason Trump won is, Biden was a crummy president, but they lied about inflation. They lied about immigration. They let the progressive left go nuts on issues like transgenderism. And Trump, you know, was there as a counterbalance. And Trump, you know, we were reminded of some pretty good times under Trump. He won on those issues just for being the normal person on those issues. Those are the people you've got to appeal to. And so if you do get in bed with neo-Nazis and say, even if it's implicitly, that's okay, you do risk opening yourself up to attack from the other side.
But you do open up for attack. But I look at things like, okay, you interview Putin. That doesn't mean you're supporting Russia. I mean, if I had a chance to interview Putin, I probably would too.
Oh, well, yeah, but it wasn't the fact that he interviewed him. It was the fact that he just just praised him constantly, and it was just such sycophancy. And no, Tucker's gone well beyond any kind of journalistic curiosity with Russia and Qatar, for that matter. It's I don't know what has gone on with him. And again, this is not a Tucker versus anything else. I'm saying these fissures in the Republican Party are real, and they're real for a reason. And the folks probably need to get serious about, you know, do they? I mean, it's there in many ways. You can't really consider a lot of the policies conservative anymore. And I would have a problem with that if I was an activist. But this is kind of natural. It's what parties do, and it's impossible to recreate the Trump coalition because nobody else is Trump. In my opinion, they'd be better off getting back to winning on issues rather than winning on cult of personality.
That would be delightful. I'll agree 100% on that. All right. Tell folks if they want to check you out for Alabama Daily News and get that email 6 days a week. How do they do it?
Yep. It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. It's a good time with session coming up. You're going to be want to be informed on everything that's going on with the legislature.
100%. Enjoy your Christmas holiday, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Sean. Merry Christmas.
All right. You too. Merry Christmas. There goes Tom Stacey, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:24, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Christmas Eve. I think that's right. 343-0106 gets you through to the show. Coming up, my buddy Cameron Smith is going to join us. Also, Victor Smith. A lot of Smiths on the show. Victor will be in hour number two of the show. This segment of the show brought to you by... This is a great conversation I had with Trey the other day. So Trey and I are buddies, and also I'm a fan of his business, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I was thinking about it, too. The businesses where you can get on the phone and actually talk to somebody, you don't get rerouted to where you don't ever get to interact with the person who's going to do the service for you. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they're, you know, oh, I've got an issue. Well, you got to call this number, and they won't ever put you through. It doesn't work that way with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You also get to do this. You make an appointment. They don't tell you when they're available. They're going to find out when you're available and make an appointment around that. In other words, specific days, specific times, they get it. You've got work, you've got family, you've got the holidays, you've got everything going on. They're going to work with you on that as well. And when they show up, all you got to do is walk around and point at the junk you want gone. And it can be, you know, a lot of people, and I can fall into this as well, think, okay, well, it's a bunch of boxes or furniture in a house, or maybe we're cleaning some stuff out of a garage. But they can take on big items as well. Above ground pools, the giant trampoline, a storage building in the backyard, something like that you need gone, they can handle that as well. So make that appointment with my friend and local folks at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The name is the number. You can call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK or make that online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, to the text line here, a few of these. Let's see. Texter says, oh my God, is this guy even, I guess talking about Todd Stacey, oh my God, is this guy even a conservative? Sounds like a neocon to me. Not caring for the state of Israel has nothing to do with not liking Jews. Would you please make him quit spinning it like he does? Squirrel Vereen said, Trump's voters didn't vote on issues. Republican candidates have run on issues and lost, unfortunately, but Dobson and so many others had legitimate campaigns with good initiatives. The problem is turnout, whether it's for issues or the cult of personality. Right. And, you know, we've talked about this forever on this show, that I am an issues and I'm a constitutionalist, not a cult of personality person. But if that person lines up and does things that I think are good, then I'm going to cheer them. If they don't, then I'm not going to. So that's why I'm like 80% of the time, I'm like, way to go, Trump. And about 20% of the time, I'm like, oh, man, why'd you do that? This from Michael said, I'd like to ask Todd Ivey. So what he's, because he thinks Todd is favorable to the governor. So he's, I get it, zing. I'd like to ask Todd Ivey if he's actually spent the time to listen to Nick Fuentes in context or even an actual episode. I'm 99% sure that him and every other commenter calling him a neo-Nazi have only listened to snippets of what the Zionists are pushing. I do. Here's what I do. And I did not watch this stuff over the weekend. I'll have to go maybe watch some clips or something. I do like I don't know what this says, but I think this is the same way if people are fighting in a parking lot, people stop for a second and watch and listen, right? Is it kind of like uncomfortable family dinner, like where somebody drops some bombshell or, you know, Uncle Joe says something, whatever, right? That's kind of what it seemed like, the fact that they would have Shapiro on, say what he does, and then bring Tucker Carlson on to say what he did. I thought it was, I mean, kind of like a, you know, like a Jerry Springer thing. You bring out the first person, they, you know, go rabid on that person, and then they go, oh, by the way, look who's here, dun-dun-dun, and get the, kind of that part of it. And then the endorsement, you know, the endorsement of J.D. Vance. I think that was maybe the one news takeaway from there. All right. While I'm getting myself in trouble with people that don't like my insolidarity with things, I'll go back to the well I drink cool water from all the time. is Cash Patel the best person to be running the FBI? I don't think so. I don't have a name on who's better, but did you see, and Dan and Dalton were talking about it this morning, did you see how they broke the case here for the murderer for Brown University and the MIT professor? Did you see this? This is, it says, one crucial, it said, after two students were fatally shot, nine wounded. This is from CNN. After two students were fatally shot, nine wounded at the Providence, Rhode Island school December 13th, the FBI announced it would offer a $50,000 reward for information leading to the identification, arrest, and conviction of the individual responsible. One crucial tip, which first appeared as a comment on Reddit with details about the suspect's vehicle, provided vital information for investigators as they hunted a man, they say, opened fire at Brown's engineering building before gunning down MIT professor in his home days later. Reddit comment helped officers narrow in the suspect's rental vehicle, which they traced to Salem, New Hampshire storage facility where he's found dead. It was a homeless guy that was there on campus. So with all the technology, and I understand that, you know, a lot of law enforcement is done online and people giving tips and that, but the FBI breaks the case, not somebody working in some lab there. It is because a homeless guy there on campus posts something on Reddit, and that's how we solve that. Cash Patel at peak cash right now. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Hey, Santa's, listen up. They're open in time for you to get by and make that deal. You got room for Santa right now, don't you?
Absolutely. Inventory is really good right now. We had a couple of truckloads come in late last week, and we're going to try to buy some more stuff tomorrow, and probably have that stuff here, I'd say, Friday or Saturday within reason. We're just cooking along, you know. Our holiday hours, we're going to be here, you know, every day this week, except for, of course, Christmas Day. We will not be here, and we'll be here probably till 1 or 2 o'clock Christmas Eve. So if you're wanting to get out here and or need to get out here and see us, give us a call. Maybe we can set up an appointment and know you're coming and get everything worked for you before you get here.
Okay, as well, too, we talked a little bit about this last week, but people hear stories like nationally moves on interest rates. It does. I guess I was ignorant. I thought it took a while for it to trickle down. You said it's like next day it makes a difference in y'all's rates.
As soon as the Fed changes it, it immediately hits the banks, and the banks or the credit unions or whoever else pass it along, because they're trying to get business just like we would get business. I'm trying to have the right cars out here on the lot for the people, you know, when they get here, if they see exactly what they want. And the banks are trying to get the lowest interest rates, and one beat the other out, you know, to get the business. So it's very competitive. And they hit us with it as soon as they get it.
Good. So, I mean, if somebody was out there a month ago and said, you know, I probably need to wait on that rate, they come out and get a whole new number.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the rates are getting back to where they were. So we're in good shape.
All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Let us know if we can help you.
Good stuff. David, we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good afternoon.
All right. You too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And we'll get I want to do this. I want to just point you to the FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page. And this was up. Leanna had this up, I guess, yesterday. And it was one of these. I have not seen as many in a while, but this is something. We've got, it's Airport in Schillinger. And you have a person on a Little Rascal, you know, one of those little Rascal devices. Somebody sitting on one of those. MPD is behind them. And remember, it used to be, it was daily. I saw people on the Little Rascals crossing over the street and all that. But now This one. Yeah, so go check that on the Facebook page. While you're there, too, there's a whatever you call it, a pinned post up top there for Locals Only Christmas 2025. This is something I do every year. I post up these gift items, but they're not all like a thing. There are plenty of things out there, arts and books and all that, but experiences out there as well. All those are online, and they are pinned at FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook and on our website. You can go click through the Locals Only Christmas list. You'll see that, and you can go to each item, see something you're interested in, click the web link, go there, and have the coolest thing under the tree. Check it out, Locals Only Christmas 2025 on our Facebook and on the website. And I guess, I mean, I'm just punching buttons in here to see if that works for the mic for one. Cameron Smith, hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, are those headphones okay? Because you walked in, but I didn't set the
I bring my ears in.
I know you brought your own ears, and I left my regular ones at the house.
And I bring my own mouth.
Yeah, you do it as well. But are they too loud, or are they not?
No, it's perfect.
Okay, because I had to turn them down sometimes because we stay real deaf on this. So there you go. Now you're good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just eating the microphone, but otherwise I'm
fine. So you're here's hold on one second. This is funny. So you're used to angling the RE20. I don't know what you use in Nashville, an RE20 up like that. And ours don't do that. You got to go high up and then come down at an angle. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
See? Oh, we can hear you the whole time, but I think that's better.
Yes.
Okay, good. Excellent work.
I'm barely alive now. You know, Sean was a gracious host for two of my five boys and I to come down and hunt and hang out, and we did all of it, literally all of it. And the boys are just, I mean, I just threw them in the back of the truck, and they're just said, "Wakes up when we get home," and so it's good, man.
So Sullivan weekend has worn out some Smith boys.
Yeah, man, the beasts are just. Like, Dad, that was so much fun, but we are so tired.
Well, you understand when people say, "Man, aren't you bored on the weekend? You know, did you watch this? You sit around and you know watch this other stuff on the weekend?" I'm like, "Nope."
Yeah,
because I don't really like weekends. We hit the weekend and we get a lot of stuff done.
Go big or go home. I mean, my take on it with my boys, tired boys are well behaved boys.
Yes, true.
That's just a fact. I mean, if they have energy, they will fight.
It's the devil's right hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they are so worn out that they are just like, okay, I think I'm going to just not move for a second.
That's good. And I've been successful. It's a lot of fun having y'all in town. And so two of the beasts came in. That's some of the whole five of Cameron's boys, the beast, came in for some deer hunting. We had some success. We had both boys got to see good bucks.
Oh, yeah. You know, and they got to miss good bucks, too, which is one of the big things that
it's a way to train yourself for life.
Yes. And it has been a good several good conversations with them about, like, Dad, it was right there. It was looking at me. Well, it's going to look at somebody else because it made it. So you better practice a little bit more.
Yeah, it's that feeling we all know, deer hunters. If you miss one, it sticks with you for a while.
Yeah, they'll shake it off. But I think for them, you know, we try so hard with the boys to do life, and it's a good reminder to me that, man, when I'm on my phone and I'm scrolling, I feel like I'm doing some stuff, but I'm not. No. I am just scrolling, and it does not matter. It'll be there tomorrow, and something else will be there. And it is the moments you have with your people, whoever those people are, you need to take advantage of them and put down the dang phone. You know, get rid of it.
Unless you're taking a picture of, like, the kid with the dead deer or something like that.
Yeah, totally fine. Yeah. You know, you want to keep a memory. I get that. But the idea of living life through a digital portal, whatever it may be, I get it. We have to do it for work, stuff like that. But do not let yourself feel like you're doing life if you are just observing it.
Yeah. And, you need to be the man in the arena at some point.
Yeah.
And in that arena, so we'll kind of go through a little bit of our weekend. So a lot of deer hunting went on also. So listeners to FM Talk 106.5 are very familiar with the voice of Captain Bobby Abrascato.
Yes.
We fished with Captain Bobby on Saturday.
Oh, man. I mean,
We didn't fish. We caught.
Yes.
We went catching.
It was so much. I mean, to see a captain like that in his element doing his thing
Yes.
was just amazing. I mean, and I I've heard him for years on this station. Mm-hmm. I never met him. And it was just, I mean, it was a sight to behold. I've, you know, worked with some great captains, you know, done some awesome fishing trips. But to watch somebody who was able to so effortlessly think like a fish
mm-hmm.
was just awesome.
And also the way he runs the boat in such a calm manner. But picture, y'all, we had two younger some boys on there. So we end up having, five of us, including Captain Bobby, on the boat. So there's five people casting, trying to get on fish. And he, you know, he's always good at seeing problems before they come up and this and that. The other is, I mean, and he's just as cool about it as, you know, it's like, hey.
And what was hilarious is, so my son, the middle beast, has a family name, which is just hard to remember, is Kettner.
Yeah, and he turned into Tommy, I think.
Yeah, he was Tommy. He was Joey. He was, and Kettner's looking around saying, I don't know who else is on the boat, but
every,
I know.
And every time Bobby would say that, I'd say, yeah, Kettner. He'd say, yeah, Charlie.
Yes. And it was hilarious. And Kettner was confused most of the day, but he caught a lot of fish, so he's happy about that.
It's good stuff. And if you wonder, tell Dalton about this, if you wonder how much meat you can eat in three or four days,
basically,
we just had boys and then eating large volumes of meat.
Yeah, the boys said that's the most protein we've eaten in a while. Because
venison, beef,
sausage,
fish,
bacon,
sausage, boudin.
Oh, yeah, everything. So all of it.
It's possible. If you wondered how much meat, well, we could probably set a record on meat for the.
You can post the stack of steaks we had. It was literally like a foot high.
Well, okay, so I'll give you this, and people who run the, and there's a lot better grilling folks out here than me, but they know their grills. So I've got a Kamado Joe. It's big green egg looking thing. And it's the bigger one. It's not the Super XL, but it's large. It's, you know, before you go ridiculous, it's the size right before that. And so Cameron's in charge of steaks last night. There's so many that we had to cook them in waves because you couldn't put all the steaks on the grill at the same time.
No.
You had to cook like five and then take them off and put another five on there. And
then we had a meat tower.
So we need to put that meat tower up. By the way, coming right back with, he's in studio. Often he'll be on the telephone with us. He's in studio. It's Cameron Smith. Also, Cheese Wagon, thank you for the heads up. We got a crash I-10 westbound at the I-65 interchange. Once again, 6510 interchange. That is I-10 westbound. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Christmas Eve. I think I'm right.
Yeah.
Counselor, am I correct?
Christmas Eve. Yeah, that sounds good enough for me.
Yeah. All right, good. Also, once again, thank you for the update on the text line. From Cheese Wagon, crash westbound I-10 at the I-65 interchange this morning, because I guess we had forgotten how to drive in rain in South Alabama. There were a lot of accidents. Hopefully this afternoon will be better, but right now dealing with that crash I-10 at I-65. And, you know, there'll be a news update here, Cameron, at any point that tells us breathlessly that AAA once again says more Americans will be, you know, it's like B-roll footage. This Christmas, more Americans than ever before, you know, pack your patience. 515 billion people will be traveling by car in the United States.
Well, I found most of them on Airport Boulevard.
Wow,
guys, like traffic.
So this area is always busy, but now because the malls are right there and the seven people that still shop at a mall all pack in right here.
What is a mall?
It's a question. Maybe that should be a new podcast.
Is it where things from Amazon come from?
It is, and the place where the Orange Julius is.
I
still have one. Ben says, steak with a side of sausage is peak hunting camp eating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
it was a lot of meat, a lot of hunting, a lot of eating, just large volumes of meat, and I loved it. Let's see. Heywood had texted in, homeless guy posted on Reddit is a sentence you don't normally, that you do not hear.
Hmm.
Unless this, I was talking about Cash Patel, and I've had my questions about Cash Patel. Cash Patel, who I think went on some podcast recently to talk about his girlfriend's singing career and
So cool.
How tough it is for her and all that.
Yeah.
And she's not a, you know, an agent of another country or something like that. So
that's good. Yeah. That's one of the things you want to be able to say about your girlfriend.
So I'm not sure about mine, but so while that's going on, and a lot of us saw the video where the FBI folks were there at Brown, and they're like looking around the snow for footprints or something like we're tracking a deer or something like that. They did that at the same time. Got the hive of the FBI, which got a lot of smart folks there, a lot of equipment. But the story, I mean, the case gets broken because a homeless guy living there was posted on Reddit, I guess maybe some subreddit about, being homeless at Brown University. I don't know.
The well-to-do homeless at Brown.
Yeah, the nicest. And that's how they break the case. Says, and he may get the, that's kind of buried the lead on that earlier. He may get this reward. Said, one crucial tip, which first appeared as a comment on Reddit with details about the suspect's vehicle, provided vital information for investigators as they hunted the man they say opened fire at Brown's engineering building before gunning down the MIT professor at his home days later. Which, by the way, I found out he knew that professor and the killer knew each other.
So that was the connection, because I didn't understand why
you
do like a random shoot up and then go after a specific professor.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know either until they said, and that these guys were had studied together in Portugal or something like that, and both, you know, came into the United States. It says Providence Mayor Brett Smiley said the tip, which was cited in an affidavit and arrest warrant for the shooter, Dirtbag, was, I don't usually name
right,
killers, was so important that the tipster deserves all the $50,000 in cash. He argued as much in a letter addressed to FBI Director Kash Patel. So the mayor says John, who is the homeless guy that reported this, is no less than a hero, Smiley said in his letter, which the office shared with CNN. His bravery, selflessness, and stewardship on behalf of his community went far beyond what anybody could help or hope from a tip. So there's the thing. So you've got the case broken open by homeless guy at the university there.
Reddit posting homeless guy.
Yeah.
We just got to stop this kind of bizarro, weird murder stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, good grief. It is not hard not to kill. I mean, I've never killed anybody once.
No.
Not that I'm aware of. And yet we see these crazy people popping up left and right now. And, man, I mean, it's just awful.
Like, now, I wonder if, you know, there's theories about the shooting at Brown and then, you know, this connection for the MIT professor. But it's these things where we go, you know, I mean, you're around my daughter this weekend, home from a Northeastern college. I mean, fear of parents to have children so far away, you know, and Ella is Alabamian, who was murdered as well. And you go, you know, why?
Yeah.
Sometimes, not that it makes it okay, but sometimes there's a situation you go, that was kind of a sketchy situation. No, the person doesn't get to kill the person, but hey, I'm at school.
Yeah.
Doing school things.
Yes, I am supposed to be a place where I'm safe and learning in an educational environment. And we just have, and I think we've always had nutty people, but I think it just seems like the percentage is going up. And obviously we know about it now. Like, we know about it a lot faster than we did, you know,
historically. And we know about stuff we didn't. In the old days, that story had happened here in Mobile. Well, gosh, yeah, we'd be all over that story.
Right.
But we didn't hear about what happened somewhere else quickly.
Right. And so, I mean, I think people, we talk about mental health all the time, and then the left talks about guns. For me, it's just, you got some weird brains out there now, and the stuff that the internet just pumps to us constantly, we're strung out and weird anyway, and some of us are apparently violent, and we need to start dealing with that.
And Tony said, and I had read that, that the homeless guy is a former Brown student who's living in a basement using their heat and their Wi-Fi. He knew all about how to use Reddit. I'm just pointing out the muscle of the FBI, and they did that video to show them, like, tracking in the snow. Where y'all saw that? I was like, what are we doing here? Like, we're going to get the tracks of the killer, and we know that he's wearing a pair of Air Jordans or something. I don't know. We're going to track that. And then it's this guy that says, oh, yeah, by the way, there he was. And people were asking, hey, why were there no cameras? Yes, not cheap school to go to.
No, and
it's $100,000.
But I got to tell you, I hate that more than anything is the cameras everywhere. I do not like the camera state that we live in. And I get it. You have no reasonable expectation of privacy. I mean, that's the legal standard mm-hmm. when you're out in public. But, man, the technology that they have now, facial recognition, you know, the ability to tap into camera networks.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The libertarian in me just, I mean, I get it, creeps me out, man.
Yeah, and unless it's, you know, people doing it privately with their business.
Yes.
And they got the right to do it. Unless it's, you know, the farm where you've been, where there's a camera around.
And that's for basic security. Yes. But my point is,
I'm messing with you. So
but you know what Mike Ward I'm talking says. About. It is the government. It is the ability of the government to tap into that camera network and say, well, we just want to take a look.
And if you would say no, then you must be for the criminal.
What are you hiding?
Yeah.
And my point, it's your property. You can camera all you want. And I do at my own house.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that the government cannot necessarily allege a crime or be investigating a crime and then say, well, hey, if you voluntarily let us tap into that network, we can just reduce some crime for you. And then all of a sudden you got all these people that think, I go into your place of business, I am essentially consenting to whatever you're mm-hmm. telling me you're mm-hmm. recording, whatever. I don't necessarily think I'm consenting to the government observing.
Yeah, do they have to post that, hey, that this this camera network in, you know, whatever widget store
no,
is,
and they don't. Is. And that bothers me. And maybe I get it. I'm probably a little too libertarian on some of that stuff, but the nanny state, more than that, the heavy state. I've watched regimes around the world leverage technology.
China.
Yeah, that one. In a way that's dangerous. And I know some of my Soviet American friends on the left mm-hmm. would be more than happy, and frankly on the right too, more than happy to say, hey, I'm doing it for a good cause. I want to observe people.
Well, it's like most pieces of legislation, I've told y'all over time, whether it's at a national level or here in the state of Alabama, when you hear, we're doing this for the children.
Mm. Yeah.
It's quite often not for the children.
Well, there's a lottery for the children. There's alcohol sales for the kids. Drunks for education. I love it.
Okay, well, that's something I can get behind. Coming right back for Cameron Smith. Grab your text and calls at 343-0106.